Good morning, everyone. Again, I was back there. This is up here. So, anyhow, good to have you all here with us today. We trust that you are able to worship and sing with truth in your heart that Jesus is the glory of all things, the hope of all nations. We're going to be talking about that a little bit this morning. The title of the sermon this morning, we've been talking about going, and the last several weeks about the motivations that we have for going. What does it mean to go into the world? And so we'll be talking about that a little bit. But join me in a word of prayer, please. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your goodness and your grace. Father, thank you for the hope that you give in Jesus. Father, thank you for your Spirit who indwells us and allows us to truly worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, as we look into your word this morning, we pray that you would, by your Holy Spirit, to open up our hearts and our minds to receive the things that you have from us from your word. Father, pray that you would build each of us up in our faith and in our relationship with you. Father, if there are things that are standing between us and you this morning, Father, I pray for each individual that you would even now cause them to confess and repent, to turn from, to turn towards you, Father, that we might truly be able to call ourselves your people. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, talking about being motivated by God's glory this morning. And as the song we just sang talked about glory, and I'd be curious if I could speak with you individually, how many of you respond or have some kind of an interaction with that word of glory? You know, it's a word that we sort of pass over because it's hard to understand what God's glory is. We read about God's glory. We read about His holiness in Isaiah 6, for example, where Isaiah is taken into the presence of God and he is overwhelmed. It actually says that he is undone because of the glory and majesty of God. And we sort of sit back and we read that and we say, I can't relate. I'm sorry. I've never had that happen to me. I don't know what it is. And so oftentimes we respond to the whole issue of God's glory with a ho-hum or at least scratch your head and wonder kind of attitude. Well, hopefully we can answer some of those questions this morning or at least shed some light on some of those things. What does it mean to be motivated by God's glory? That's the wrong one, Rick. That's Grady's. Have a brief intermission here. Anyhow, Grady, let me just go over some of the past. 4 weeks ago, Grady started our time of talking about going by just giving some of the basics. One of the verses that we used this morning during the baptism is Matthew 28:19 and 20. We refer to it as the Great Commission. Jesus, after he was raised from the dead, talked to his disciples and said, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to go." And the reason why I want you to go, and the reason why you can take heart in that command to go, is because all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. Jesus is telling us that he has it all. And therefore we should go and be a part of what he began. So it's Warren, the last 3 weeks, talked about three different points of motivation. The first was obedience, being obedient to the command to go. The next one was out of a love for God and for our fellow man, those who don't yet know Christ. Love should compel us. And then the next one is fear. And again, we think of fear. What is there to fear? Well, God tells us that we should fear several things. We should fear God if we truly knew Him for who He is, just like Isaiah in Isaiah 6, when he was undone, when he saw the glory of God. For us to deal lightly with the God who, again, like the song just that we sang just said, that who created it all, who possesses everything, who holds our lives in our hand, that should cause some kind of a fear or awareness of God's greatness. And to fear people who are great is not cowardly, it is smart. And so God wants us to fear Him because of who He is. God wants us to act out of that sense of who He is. If you haven't had an opportunity to hear any of those messages, they are available on our website. It's there, wichitabible.org. You can go and listen to them. It's worth your time. But today, the topic is the glory of God, or how spreading the glory of God should motivate us. I'd like to start out with talking about names, and just to ask the question, what is in a name? I don't know if you all like Westerns, novels. Louis L'Amour is someone that I enjoy reading and have read quite a few of his books. But he had a series of books about the Sacketts. And they're a group of a family that moved to the United States down around Tennessee, Kentucky area in the Smoky Mountains. And it's just about their lives, how they spread out all over the migrated West, and just all kinds of stories. But oftentimes, a Sacket would introduce himself just with the phrase, "I'm a Sacket." And to their way of thinking, that conveyed everything they needed to say about who they were. And if you didn't know the Sacketts, you didn't know about them, but evidently they were legendary. And you can only appreciate it if you've read it. But anyhow, the name meant something to them. And one of the things that I remember reading was this line that when you step on the toes of one Sacket, they all come running. And I think of Abraham. You know, Abraham was given a special name by God. And Lot, his nephew, got into trouble and was kidnapped and taken away, him and his family and all his possessions. And when Abraham heard about it, somebody had stepped on his toes. And he prayed, and God said, "Go after them, bring Lot back." And he went and rescued Lot and his family, brought them back and restored everything they had, plus all the plunder that they got from the enemies that had originally kidnapped them. There's something in a name. We don't think about names very much anymore. Names are, God doesn't assign names, at least not to my knowledge anymore. I could probably, my family might not like it, but for all intents and purposes, I could probably change my name tomorrow and it wouldn't affect anything or anybody else. The IRS probably wouldn't like it either, I guess. But apart from those few people, you know, names don't mean a lot these days. But they have a lot of significance. No longer, Genesis 17:5 says, no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. God took a man. He took him out of his home, said to go somewhere else. He has a plan for him. And he says, I'm going to change your name. And he said he's going to be the father of many nations. And yet he hadn't had a single child. Sarah, his wife, was barren. And they waited and waited and waited and finally took things into their own hands, trying to help God out with His plan. But eventually God fulfilled His promise and accomplished and made this name meaningful even today. Among most people around the world know who Abraham is because of his descendants. Somebody else who had their name changed was Peter. John 1:42 says, he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which means Peter. And then in Matthew 16 later on, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Jesus saw a man who had a name and he said, I've got a mission for you and I'm going to change your name so it reflects your mission. We all have names. We have to bear the name of Christian. And yet even that doesn't mean much to us in this day and age. To be a Christian doesn't seem to be anything special. Proverbs tells us that a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Which would you choose? A good name or riches? I'll be honest. Which would you choose? I dare say most of us, off the cuff, would say, I'll take the riches, thank you. Give me that lottery ticket. Or whatever it might be. Most of us would prefer the riches. And yet God says that the name, a good name is better. Ecclesiastes 7:1, a good name is better than precious ointment. You all remember the story of I think it was Mary, one of the Marys that came in and had a jar of ointment, and she broke it and poured it on Jesus and anointed Him. And the disciples were all upset because she wasted all this money. They could have sold that and given it to the poor. And Jesus says, she has done a good thing in anointing me for my crucifixion and burial. Don't get on her case. She has done a good thing. A good name is better than precious ointment. Well, that brings me to the question, at least. Well, what does God think about His own name? What does God think about His name? God's glory is built on His name. God's glory is a reflection, if you will, of who God is. And who God is, God says of Himself, it is built on His name. A verse that all of us are familiar with and probably learned it as a kid, possibly. Psalm 23, 1 through 6. I'm just going to read the first couple verses. But it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." God does these things for us for His name's sake. He does it for Himself. I'd like to just go into some other verses that sort of say the same thing. I just finished reading Ezekiel, and I must say it's possibly the first time, I think, I'm saying this in all honesty. I've read it several times because I try to read through the Bible once a year or every, as close to that as I can. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer, but so I get through Ezekiel now and then, and oftentimes it is just trying to make it from chapter 1 to the last chapter and, just sort of to say that I've read it. And I must say that this time when I read Ezekiel, I came away with some things that amazed me. Some of them had to do with His name. I'll start out with Isaiah first, since that's on my list. "For my own sake," this is God speaking, "for my own sake, for my own sake, I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another." God is said to be a jealous God. "For my own sake," He says, "I will do it." Ezekiel 20, verse 9 says, "But I acted for the sake of my name, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations among whom they," the Israelites, "lived, in whose sight I made myself known to them in bringing them out of the land of Egypt." Again, verse 22, or 20:22, "But I withheld my hand and acted for the sake of my name." This is God saying that He acted, and the reason why He acted was for the sake of His name. "That it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations, in whose sight I had brought them out." And again, verse 44, "And you shall know that I am the Lord when I deal with you for my name's sake, not according to your evil ways, nor according to your corrupt deeds, O house of Israel, declares the Lord." No matter what He finds in us or in the earth, God always acts for His name's sake. That's important. Why does God do what He does? He does it for Himself. Ezekiel 36:21-22. "But I had concern for my holy name." Again, God is speaking, and He says He had concern for His holy name. God has a concern for His holiness, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations to which they had come. "Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, But for the sake of my name, for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. In Leviticus, Aaron, the priest, who is told to be the intermediary and the intercessor between the people and God in the temple, was told, this is Moses speaking, God says to Moses, speak to Aaron and his sons so that they abstain from the holy things of the people of Israel, which they dedicate to me, so that they do not profane my holy name. I am the Lord. See the connection? Don't profane my holy name, because I am the Lord. And again, we have troubles with that because we've never lived under a Lord. We are free people. We don't answer to anybody. We don't comprehend what it is to call someone Lord. But God says, He links His name being profaned and being called holy and doing things for His own sake because He is Lord. So what's the answer? God's own glory is what motivates Him in all He does. From creation to making a people for Himself in the nation of Israel, sending His own Son to purchase our redemption to the ultimate end where the whole earth will be filled with God's glory. Habakkuk 2:14 says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. There's a lot of water in the sea. And His glory will fill the earth in the same way the water fills an ocean. Completely. No spot untouched. Everything in the world one day will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. So what should motivate us to go? I mean, what does that mean to us? That God's name, that God wants His name to be glorified. Mark 10:45, Jesus said of Himself, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. Jesus had a mission. And His mission wasn't self-serving. It was all for us. All for others. All for those in the world. Jesus had a mission. And so what should motivate us again? Philippians 2:5-8 says, have this mind in yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but He emptied Himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself. He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. When you think of yourself, when I think of myself and my priorities in life, where does Jesus fit in the equation? Where does the people around us fit in that equation? We're told for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. Philippians 2, 9 and 10. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Why? Because all authority has already been given to Jesus. And he says to us, you are my ambassadors. You are my representatives. I am calling you out of the world so that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and with my power. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world, everywhere. God wants us to be His witnesses. And why? Because God wants His name glorified. You know, so often we think of it as a favor that we're doing someone by talking about introducing people to Christ. It's not about people. It's not about their happiness. It's not about even about forgiveness. It is about God's desire to have His name glorified throughout the world, that we are called to be His ambassadors, His witnesses. It is because God is a jealous God. Warren talked once, about it being a crime to not be a representative of Jesus. I was reading someone's writing as I was preparing this, and this person said it is suicidal to not be involved in magnifying and proclaiming God's glory throughout the world. And he went on to explain that God says, and it's part of the verses that we read, God doesn't share any of His glory with anyone. God's glory will eventually triumph over everything. If you are investing your life in anything other than the glory of God, you are wasting your life. It scares me when I think about that. The amount of time I waste on myself. God will not share His glory with anyone. Not even you or me. God calls us to be a part of what He's a part of. God says it is a blessing to be a part of spreading a passion for the glory of God. I don't do it well enough. Romans 11:36 says, for from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do commit this time the words that were spoken, the words that were heard, the ideas going around in our heads. Father, everything comes under Your Lordship. Oftentimes we try to take that back. We try to make it our own. We try to be the captains of our own vessels, as it were, the masters of our own destinies. Father, I pray that You would cause each of us who has that attitude to repent, to confess You as Lord, to strive to come to know You as You are, to be involved in the things that You are involved in, a passion for Your name. Father, that it might be proclaimed throughout the world. Father, everything is Yours. You have all the glory. Help us to live that way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you. I think we're dismissed.